Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday edition of our program. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia. In Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show is always brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran. Ride in style and go one better. Cochran.com. Shendarovich, Shendarovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Boy, it's a busy weekend and things are starting to perk up. First, I should tell you, I am doing this show today from Nemacolin and Woodlands Resort because we have a very special day for the members and guests out here with their golf academy, which is state-of-the-art. Lee Trevino, the six-time major winner, will be here. I have a nice Q&A coming up with him later tonight. He's going to mingle with the guests and the members and a lot of special activities. If you ever get a chance, come up to the Nemacolin Golf Academy. It is state-of-the-art. In the meantime, well, since I brought that up, we should tell you the Masters is a week away. So if you have any thoughts about the Masters going into this one, let me know at 412-928-9370. That is the number of the fan hotline. Again, 412-928-9370. But look at what's happening in the NHL. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who appeared to be, you know, long shots at best getting into the playoffs just a couple of weeks ago, have taken full advantage of the fact that all these teams around them have been mired in mediocrity. That's exactly what's happened. They have invited the Penguins back into this. And, of course, the Penguins have won three straight games in regulation on the road, no less, at the Rangers, at the Devils, which to me was the most incredible game of these three games, and then at the Capitals. They were down 3-1 to the Devils in the third period. Normally, that is just, time to put it away because they don't do well when they're down and they don't score a lot of goals playing that team in that building. But suddenly an eruption of five goals, two by Crosby, two by Malkin, and the Penguins, another nice deflection by Rickard Rakell. Next thing you know, they're in the winner's circle there. And now, because teams have just absolutely gone terribly bad ahead of them, they're right back in the playoff picture. As we look at it today, the Penguins will be hosting Tampa Bay today. That's not an easy assignment. Tampa Bay has pretty much locked up the first wild card, but they have their eyes set on the third seed of their division because Toronto is just 2 points ahead of them. And those are the next two games for the Penguins. It will not be easy. Tampa at home here today at 1:00, and then at Toronto Monday night. Both teams have a lot to play for there. But as we enter here, this chase for the playoffs of the Penguins, again, they're 81 points. They're just 1 point back of the Capitals and Red Wings, 2 points back of the Flyers. And what have these teams done? Well, yesterday was a great day for hockey in Pittsburgh, even though they did not play, because the Rangers beat Detroit, another team right ahead of them, and Detroit's fallen apart here. The Capitals, they had a 2-0 lead over Carolina, but Jake Guentzel got two goals, and next thing you know, this game was 4-2 Carolina, so the Caps lose. And then Buffalo lost, or beat the Flyers, I should say, 4-2. So the Flyers have gone 0-4-2. They've lost six straight games. The Capitals have lost five straight games. And when you look at Detroit, they have one win in their last seven games. All of this has opened the door for the Penguins, who have been red hot, led by not only Crosby, of course, who has 15 points in six games, but Can't say enough about Alex Nedeljkovic. 5-0-1 in his last six. 934 save percentage, 197. Goals against, those are the best numbers of the last 2 weeks of any goaltender in hockey. And he will be in net, I would assume, today against Andre Vasilevsky, you would think also, for Tampa Bay. The Lightning have been playing well, there's no question. And Nikita Kucherov specifically has a lot going on in this remaining five or six games for them, because he is right now leading the Ross Trophy, 133 points. That's how many he has on 43 goals. Right behind him is Nathan MacKinnon, who's been just going nuts. He's all the way up to 130 ahead of Connor McDavid at 125. So a big game for the Penguins, who have got to take care of business. And as long as they continue to win, especially when it comes to regulation, that's a big tiebreaker for them. And they'll have a situation where they can win that with all the teams involved with them. Philly, Washington, Detroit, and even the Islanders. The Islanders are just a couple of points ahead. The Islanders have taken advantage of these teams free-falling as well. They'll be home to Nashville tonight. So a big game, a big night of hockey coming up. Like to hear from you and what your take is. A lot of people had them written off. If they get in, man, it could be tough. It could be as a third seed, which means they would take on the Rangers, who still have hopes to win the President's Cup, President's Trophy. Or if not, then you're going to go into the wild card situation there. And that will be interesting who it may be. It could be Boston. So, and the Penguins have Boston later in the season as well. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. And the Pirates, as you heard Donnie Football just talking about, Donnie Football becomes Donnie Baseball on Saturdays, but they had a tough loss yesterday, certainly trying to win the home opener in front of a sellout crowd. But the Orioles, a very good team. I've been telling everybody for the last 3 weeks, watch out for this team. They are loaded with young people. They got more in their system. You know, they went out and got Corbin Burns to add to a rotation. You saw Grayson Rodriguez yesterday. He was terrific, and he has been for them with six strikeouts and 6 2/3 innings. But the biggest takeaway on this game yesterday was Jared Jones. Second game in a row where he has looked really confident, poised on the mound. Joe Block, the Pirate announcer, has put up a post, which was interesting. Swing and misses over the first two games of a major league career. StatCast has been going back, you know, since 1988. They've been keeping track of this stuff. And in two games, first two of his major league career, Jared Jones has 43 swings and misses. The only other person who's tied him with that is Shohei Ohtani. That's it. The guy looks ready to take on anyone out there. He's got a lot of passion, a lot of emotion. I love to see that with a young guy. He's confident, not cocky, but confident. You got to be confident on the hill, and he is. And yesterday, seven more strikeouts. So he has 17 strikeouts in his first two games. Good location. He gave up two home runs. One barely got out. There were five home runs hit yesterday. The Pirates had a couple also, Cruz and Triolo. But, you know, they're 6-2 now, and they got a tough assignment again today because the Orioles are going to send out the big Tyler Wells, who's like almost 6'9", 260 pounds. He'll be going against Bailey Falter, and you wonder how long Falter will continue to be in the rotation if he has another bad outing. 412-928-9370. We'll get into that. Also, it's a big weekend of basketball. Last night we saw the Final Four of the women in Cleveland, Ohio. And one game that was not much of a game, South Carolina, continues to be undefeated as they beat NC State. And then Iowa, and everybody was focused on this one. It was Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers and company. And Iowa came away with a 71-69 win. There was a controversial offensive call for a moving screen late in the game that really kind of put this one away, although not one foul call late in the game is going to determine how this happened. UConn had a 12-point lead, and they couldn't handle it. Iowa was as sloppy as they've been throughout this entire postseason, yet they overcame that. 21 points for Caitlin Clark, who missed her first 7 3-point shots, but then she got it together. So it's going to be Iowa and South Carolina in the ladies' final. That'll be on Sunday at 3 p.m. That'll be a rematch of a game played last year in the Final Four where Iowa beat them to get to the finals. NC State and Purdue tonight. This is in Glendale, Arizona. It's the Final Four for the men. UConn will take on Alabama in the second one. So NC State, this is a battle of the big man. You know, you got DJ Burns, who's got everyone, and as one of those guys that people want to watch. He's big. He's 6'8". He weighs about 300 pounds. He's in the middle, and he has been really quick with his feet. He's a really good player. This team's on a roll, man. They got in, and they haven't lost. They've won 10 straight. It looked like their season would come crashing to an end in the ACC tournament. They trailed Louisville. They got it together. They won five games to get here, automatic bid. Other than that, they wouldn't have gotten in. And they've continued that, reminiscent of UConn back in the day when, Pitt was looked at as the team that was going to beat UConn that day. They didn't. Kemba Walker company goes on a run, and they win a championship. So you have Zach Edey, National Player of the Year, against DJ Burns in that one. But the first game will be UConn and Alabama, or I'm not sure which one is first. They got a doubleheader tonight. Anyway, UConn is just on a roll. Danny Hurley and company try to make it back-to-back. Alabama scores a lot of points. Interesting strategies going into that one tonight as well. So we got a very busy weekend here, and I'd love to hear from you. It's 412-928-9370. We got the Penguins in Tampa Bay. I'd like to hear what you think about the Penguins. Do you now think they may get in, or is this schedule a little bit too tough for them, given the fact they're going to have to win a lot of these games? They got Tampa today, at Toronto, Detroit, Nashville, Boston, and the New York Islanders. It could very well come down to the final game of the year at Long Island against the New York Islanders. Who knew a couple of weeks ago? But they have been playing well, and they've taken advantage of other teams collapsing around them. Quite frankly, the fact that they're playing well, that's fine. It would not, they'd still be in the same precarious spot if these other teams hadn't crashed and burned. And they are crashing and burning, none worse than Philadelphia. The Flyers are 0-4-2 in their last six. They have just completely invited the Penguins, the Islanders, and everyone else back into the playoff hunt. We'll take your calls when I come back. It's 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. We got the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 KDK. Lots to get into on that program, but I want to hear from you next, right here on the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah, it's a chilly Saturday, but hey, things are getting better. We're heading into spring pretty soon. Temperatures next week are going to be higher. Got the weather at the end of this hour for you. In the meantime, it's Masters weekend next weekend. So if you have a thought about who may win, there are a lot of great choices. What's going to happen there? Feel free to call 412-928-9370. As I said, I'll be hanging with a guy today who's won six majors, Lee Trevino, up here at Nemacolin Resort as part of their Golf Academy. They have a very special event for members and guests. And you can come up here if you're a member or a guest and be treated to it. It's pretty amazing what they do up here. And if you want to improve your game, that's a great place to go. As for Chris Anderson, he's the man in charge. In the meantime, let's go to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Gus in Beaver County. Hey, Gus, how you doing today?
Every day is a great day for hockey, Bob, and belated, late, happy Easter blessings to you and your family. And, Bob, let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday coming up soon.
Thanks very much, Gus. Too much information there.
Hey, Bob, we're very glad it's a long season in hockey. I still don't have my hopes way up that the Pens are going to get in. I'm very fearful of the schedule they have coming up. There's a lot of really good teams, especially looking at Nashville and the Islanders. The Islanders really scare me. Going back to the Pierre LaRouche and Eddie Westphal days when the Pens were up 3-0, they've just been a team that has had the Penguins' number. But I'm very encouraged what I see, the way the Pens are playing. They're doing a lot of good things out there. They're helping Nedeljkovic out a lot, and he's helping them out a lot. Sid Crosby, what's there to say about him? He's carrying the team on his back. And there's a lot of young guys that are stepping up too, Bob. There's a lot of encouraging things happening.
There's no question, Gus. And the thing about Crosby, 15 points in six games, he has done that. Once again, 19 straight years, averaging a point a game, only he and Gretzky. It's pretty amazing that we've watched this throughout the two decades. But you know, the goaltending has really been the key. Nedeljkovic has been terrific. 5-0-1, as I said before, a .934 save percentage. They need that, especially when you're this far back in the standings. But again, it wouldn't have happened unless all these other teams just collapse around them. And that's an invitation. And they've taken it, to the point now where they can control their own destiny, which is something I never thought I'd be saying, Gus, about this team 2 weeks ago. But they're in that position where they can actually do that.
There you go, Bob. And you know what's very encouraging? The play of Pierre Joseph, the play of Drew O'Connor, Pustinen, he's showing that he could play. Michael Bunning is looking like he's fitting in. Geno Malkin's rejuvenated. Riley Smith is getting his game together. Ricard Raquel. I mean, there's a lot of pluses out there. I felt for Chris Letang a few weeks ago. He was struggling. He looks like he's coming around a little bit too. But it's an amazing thing to see. And I never give up. You always got to keep the faith. You got to believe. That was an old Penguins motto many years ago. You got to believe.
Thank you for the call, Gus. I appreciate it. But, yeah, you do. And if you look at NHL more than any sport, if you get hot at a certain time and you carry that in, well, we've seen it now with NC State in the Final Four. The fact that they were on on life support, quite frankly, their coach could have been fired. But it triggered a new two-year deal once he won the ACC tournament. And then he gets on a roll here now, and they've just gone right through people. Yet Oakland at PPG Paints Arena had a chance to end their season in overtime. That's how tough it is to get to this point. But that's a good example. You look at the St. Louis Blues several years ago with Craig Berube, who came in, and it looked like they were in last place in February. And then Jordan Binnington gets called up. Next thing you know, they're on a roll. They win a Stanley Cup. Nobody saw that coming. And, you know, the Penguins, if they get in, they could be very dangerous. And if you're them, you got to think, okay, if we do, we're playing on house money right now, because there's no way that many people, and certainly the odds makers, thought they'd get into this situation just a few weeks ago. But the invitation has been extended by these struggling teams, and the Penguins and Islanders have taken advantage. Next destination for our call is New Jersey, and may come down to a game on Long Island, by the way, between the Islanders and Penguins. We have Ryan in New Jersey who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Bob. Enjoy Supermex there at Nemecola. That sounds pretty cool. But
yeah, anyway, Mary Mex. He's 84 now, you know, and he's still going strong.
I can't believe that. So I caught the game Tuesday night, or was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Whatever day, in Jersey, in Newark.
Tuesday.
Almost packed it in there, 3-1 early in the third. That if it hadn't scored that power play goal, it's heading for the doors. Anyway, somehow these fools had to sweep the week. Somehow they did it. I can't explain it. But I'll tell you what, the one thing I'm going to miss when this era is over, nobody knows how to scream obscenities after a goal in a quiet room with 20,000 people like that Russian does. It's amazing. Every time I've heard it on the road, which has been probably, 50 to 100 games at this point, it's something to behold. It's like the steps outside of D.C. It's one of those signature moments you can't mention due to FCC rules that is just amazing. So I have to say, it's a fun ride. You know, if they get in, they're probably dead meat. But, at this point, with the age of those guys, you just take it and see what happens. And it is.
Why would you say dead meat, Ryan? Just because they're a team that has so much experience and they shouldn't even be in this position. To me, that makes them very dangerous. And the Rangers know all too well how difficult they can be if they end up with
a 3-0. Right, the Rangers is who you want, because they don't. See, the thing about the Pens all year, and they haven't been dominated by the quote unquote elite teams like Tampa. Now Tampa's on a roll; they're steamrolling people. But they're an older, slower team as well. If they get their heads out of their butts and it doesn't take them 25 minutes to start this game, I like their chances of taking this one. They got to take one out of the next two. What these teams losing ahead of them does is allow the Pens losses down the stretch. They didn't have any wiggle room before last night, really, on losses. They got to win four of the last six, but you're not going to beat Boston, Nashville, Tampa Bay, and Toronto probably. They needed the padding to get a loss or two.
Right.
So I think that's what they kind of gained last night. They really probably need to get this one from Tampa today and then, you know, roll the dice against Toronto. They need to beat Nashville, and they have to beat the two head-to-heads in regulation. That's a huge order. You know, four or five out of six this time of the year with old legs is a huge order. but they do control their own destiny. There's no question. The Islanders have 15 loser points. They're not beating anybody on a tiebreaker. The Flyers are in free fall because they just were playing above their heads all year. So what we always expected to happen is happening. So they really, really, really have – I mean, if you can't get these guys with Crosby, Malkin, whatever, to just gut up and get them there now, and I know that's asking a lot at their age – then you're not in the right sport here, because they should have the advantage. That's the
right
way it is.
I got you, Ryan. Thanks for the call, man. Always look forward to hearing from you. And you're right. The Penguins have the tiebreaker over all these teams because they have regulation wins. Islanders, too many ties and too many overtime losses and all this stuff. And regulation wins is the first tiebreaker. So the Penguins do have that. All they have to do is tie one of these teams, either third in the division or wild card, whatever the case may be, and they would get the nod. I think they'd be a very dangerous team. And if Nedeljkovic can keep this going, now that's a lot to expect. He's been, like a lot of goaltenders, it's a tough business. One day you're up, one day you're down. He's been with three teams now, looked terrific with Carolina, and then he goes to Detroit, and it doesn't look good at all, to the point where he signs a one-year deal here for less than $2 million, and now all of a sudden he's taking it to another level. Tristan Jarry may never get a shot here down the road, but if he does, he's going to have to put up that same sort of performance, because that's what he's expected to do, and he hasn't done it before in critical situations. Nedeljkovic is doing it right now. Back to the lines at 412-928-9370. We got Bert in Ross Traver. Hello, Bert. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, you know, I agree with the position that it's never great when the referees are involved in the outcome of a game, and it's unfortunate when that happens, but I saw the Iowa game last night, and at the end of the game, there was the controversial illegal screen call. Mm-hmm. And I watched the replay, and the player from the other team, she clearly did not have her feet planted. She moved into the Iowa player, and she seemed to use an elbow point technique when she was setting the screen. And all that is really just all that adds up to a good call by the referee, even though it may have, led to the outcome.
You know, Bert, it's interesting. A lot of people were critical of that call. And all I'll say about it is, technically, by the book, she did not have her position planted. She was moving. This is Edwards from UConn. But there was an embellishment on the part of the Iowa player. She sold that very well and got the call. Normally, in that situation, I don't think I would have made that call. Technically, it was, I think, the right call. But it's a difficult call to make in those situations.
Well, you know, they always said Muhammad Ali used to con the judges, you know. But to me, it's a big part of sports. I don't consider it a flop, but my problem with it, more than anything else, was what appeared to be the use of an elbow point technique when she moved into the Iowa player. And I don't think that they should tolerate that under any circumstances. I mean, when you turn your forearm into an elbow point, that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah. All right, Bert, thanks. I appreciate that. And I was in because of it. Actually, you know, UConn shouldn't have anything to complain about, because they had a 12-point lead. Iowa had made 12 turnovers in the first half, and they were sloppy. UConn couldn't put them away. And I will also say, I thought there was an offensive call against Caitlin Clark, which was not called. She went into the lane, and she pushed, clearly made contact with a defender and pushed her away to get a jump shot in the lane. That should have been an offensive call, but this happens in these kinds of games. Eric in North Huntington, before we go to break, Eric joins us on the hotline. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Bob? You caught me off guard here, man. I'm in sheets right now.
Oh, good place to be.
Yeah, I was waiting outside.
You got good coffee over there.
Yeah, good coffee. My first question is about Jarry. Do you think he'll be there next year?
I do. I think they have. I think Mike Sullivan, more than anybody, has a lot of faith in him. I thought he said, you know, he's not. Nedeljkovic has played his way into where he should get the starts, all of them down the road. But Jarry, I thought, had a better year than what most people thought.
I just believe Nedeljkovic is, like, really outplaying him. He's incredible.
He is. But I've seen Nedeljkovic good and bad, as I have Jarry good and bad. They've committed to Jarry. Would he be back? They have an insurance policy. Joel Blomqvist down there, Eric. He's a good young player, much like Gustafsson, who they let go about, you know, and they traded him to Ottawa. Now he's in Minnesota playing with Fleury. But I don't know. I mean, it's a nice thing to have, because if you do want to trade him, There's a contract signed, and maybe more than what people want. But I, you know, he's a two-time All-Star, still young enough to be somebody in this league. And I'm not going to say that he won't get another chance this season. If he does, he better play at a level that's commensurate with his salary.
Or he's gone.
Again, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do in that. They have obviously they have to re-sign Nedeljkovic. He would become a free agent again. I think it's a one-year deal he got. So if that's the case, he may look elsewhere too, unless he's anointed a starter. It could be sort of a Mason Rudolph situation all over again. All right, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We're just getting started here till 1 o'clock. Keep in mind, Dan Zangrilli will be here. That'll be today at 3 for the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the Pirates and the Orioles, game 2 of the series. We got a lot of going on. 1 o'clock, Penguins and Lightning, and then the Pirate game at 4 tonight at 7. It's the Riverhounds at home against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Riverhounds off to a slow start, but they got to get it together, and this is their 25th season, and it's an anniversary season for them. I'm Bob Pompiani, live here at Nemacolin Resort, waiting for Lee Trevino, who's going to be a special guest here today. That's all coming up. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We roll along here on a very busy sports day. Bob Pompiani with you. Lee Trevino will be up here at Nemacolin Woodlands. I'm hosting a Q&A with him tonight for all the members and guests at Nemacolin. And there's a very special podcast, Chasing Birdies. It'll be a podcast that you can hear next Thursday, day one of the Masters, with Lee Trevino, a man who's had 6 major wins in his career. And they call him the Merry Mex. He's always a fun guy to be around, and he'll be here throughout the day. In the meantime, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPomp. We're talking about the Penguins, a big game today against Tampa Bay. And the Penguins have been invited, and they've said, thank you very much. We'll accept the invitation back into the playoff chase. In fact, by the end of tonight, ladies and gentlemen, they could be in the playoffs and controlling their own destiny. Would you have said that just a couple of weeks ago? Likely not. But here they are, because the Flyers have lost 6 in a row. The Capitals have lost 5 in a row. Jake Guentzel, by the way, had a lot to do with that last night. 2 goals, 26 and 27 for the Carolina Hurricanes. And for my money, they're going to be the team that emerges out of the Eastern Conference. They got a lot of things going. Goaltending, obviously, whoever gets the hottest goaltending is going to have a big advantage here. But I think their team is just as good as any team in the Eastern Conference. Penguins, Tampa today. Later today, it's going to be the Pirates and the Orioles. You'll hear it right here, beginning with Dan Zangrilli and the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. That's at 3, game at 4. And then tonight over at Highmark Stadium, it is the Riverhounds and Tampa Bay. Meantime, let's go back to the lines. Neil in Butler joins us. What's up, Neil? How are you?
Bob,
hello,
you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you, Bob?
I'm good, thanks. What's going on?
Okay. All right. Baseball. Real quick, how many pitchers sign long-term deals at around age 30 that pan out? And probably my guess is the same as yours, not many. Like the 8-year deals at age 30 or the 10-year deal, you know, they don't work out. Well, my point is,
it's not just with pitchers, it's with any player. I mean, we've seen, you know, position players who, you know, 8 years into it or on a 10-year deal like Pujols did or others. You know, it's normally not worth the effort to me.
Right. So this gets to my point. Okay, we see Jared Jones, who was drafted in 2020, second-round pick. All right, in the following year, Anthony Salamedo, both out of high school. They're about 8 months apart as far as age goes. Salamedo being 8 months a little bit younger. Now, I would like to see what Salamedo does between now and the beginning of June, because last year he showed in the minor leagues numbers that he is ready for the bigs, if he continues to show that in the first couple months this year, I don't see, because this team will not make a real true run with the pitching that they have. The hitting I'm not worried about, but they have no pitching depth at all, especially with Bailey Falter. You know, we don't even have a third or fourth starter. And I think the best years of a pitcher sometimes can be from 22 to 30. And that gets them through arbitration. Then the free agency hits around 29 or 30. So I'm not worried about 29 or 30 when at that age of a pitcher. You know, I would really like to see Salamedo and Skeens, if they do well in their first 2 months up here. And then you're looking at Jared Jones and the other two. The problem will be in September, how many innings do they rack up?
Yeah, that's always an issue. They have another guy, too, Bubba Chandler. He pitched last night in Altoona, 3 1/3, 4 strikeouts, 2 runs. But Skeens was terrific yesterday. For those who missed it, 3 more shutout innings. He has now 6 innings, 1 hit allowed, 11 strikeouts down there in AAA in 6 innings.
Right. The Bubba Chandler thing that I would say, though, is like when he came out of high school, it was like he wanted to possibly go to Clemson as a quarterback. So I wonder how much he worked on his craft. So that's why I didn't bring him up as far as, is he further along in his craft as Anthony Salamedo or Jared Jones was at the same time in their development as far as coming out of high school. You know, same with Lonnie White is another one.
Right.
But he's a hitter.
Neil, I will tell you this, and thank you for the call, man. The team has potentially really good players down there all the way through. It's all potential at this point. We're seeing some of it with Jones right now. Salamento is a guy who I think could be that way. Maybe not right now, but he is on his way. Another guy you haven't mentioned that I would like to see is Quinn Priester. You know, number one pick, high hopes for him, but he didn't, you know, it takes time. Not everyone is going to come up and look the part like Jared Jones so far has looked in 2 starts. Some guys really struggled. Tyone struggled. Cole didn't even come up in his first year. You look at some of the other guys they've had around here, hit and miss. Tyler Glasnow took forever to get his treads, and it didn't happen until afterwards. But, you know, they're in a pretty good place right now. But that doesn't mean you can't bring in more people. I think Baltimore's a good example when you look at it. Corbin Burnes, a former Cy Young Award winner, they wanted to add him to a very young rotation. He's kind of the guy who's going to be the glue to it, you would think. So I think another guy we haven't talked about so far is Martin Perez. He's been really good, solid guy for two outings so far for the Pirates, and he's had success on this level. Thanks for the call. We got some breaking news in here, too. The Cleveland Guardians, their ace, Shane Bieber, no relation to Justin, I don't think so. He's set to have season-ending Tommy John surgery. That dude can bring it, and that's a big loss for Cleveland because Shane Bieber has emerged as one of the better pitchers, obviously, in this game. But you see that a lot with players and guys coming back. Brubaker was a guy coming back, and they traded him. I was a little surprised by that, by the Pirates a few weeks ago. I didn't see that trade coming. I thought he was going to be a player who could be up here midway through this season and certainly help them. But if Skeens does what you expect him to do, and again, not everything's going to be this smooth, by the way, and even Jared Jones, you know, he's going to have his problems. They all do. You go through stretches up here. But if he, those two and Keller can get it together, down the road, there are some other guys that I mentioned, Priester. I hope he gets up here and I hope he has a chance to do some good things. That's been their one weak spot going into this, an obvious weak spot. I think the hitting is going to be okay. We've seen evidence of that, although not so much yesterday. The meat of the order went 0-for-16. They couldn't get a hit. But you know, a guy like Cruz, you saw what he can do and you expect that to pan out through an entire season. Health is a big concern, of course, if he does that. Hayes got a couple of more hits yesterday. I think Brian Reynolds is fine. I think Henry Davis off to a slower start, but I also think because he's catching every day now, it's a little bit a lot on his plate, right? And he's trying to deal with all of that. But this is a good team, Baltimore, and you'll see 2 more good pitchers here this weekend, and the Pirates would love to get a good effort tonight from Bailey Falter. Again, that game coming up at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, I want to throw out the Masters, you know, again, just because it's next week. If you have a take on who you may like, John Rahm's looking to be a repeat winner. Can he do it? He took it away from Koepka, who was looking for a 6th major last year, and looked like he was going to get that 6th, and then Rahm got hot. Let me know if you call in here at 412-928-9370. You want to give me your Masters take a week ahead of time, because when I join you next, it'll be all the way through 2 rounds. Steven in Glassport is our next caller. Hey, Steven, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Good. How about you, Bob?
Good, thanks.
I think. Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
It's not yet, but I gotta savor every day I have before I get to another year. You know, I don't want to keep giving these years away here, Stephen.
Yeah, I think the Pirates should be good today. I think they're going to be decent. At least it wasn't cold like it was yesterday. It was like my friend went down there. He said it was freezing down there. They left after it started raining. So I think they should do good today than they did yesterday. I think they're going to be I think the Penguins probably won't be – if they're going to be in the playoffs, they need to do better today.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would say split the next two. Realistically, Steven, that would be my goal if I'm them. They want to win every game. But if you can get 2 points out of Tampa and Toronto, two teams that are really good and two teams that are fighting for that third spot in their division, that would be good because you do have head-to-heads coming up against Detroit and the Islanders. And then between those two games, you have Nashville and Boston. So, but if these other teams continue to fall apart as they have, then the Penguins are going to be in a situation where they can probably very easily control their fate here by the end of the day today or early next week. And that's all you would ask, given where they were and how they were playing. So it looks like Nedeljkovic in goal today against Vasilevskiy. Mike Sullivan should be speaking here, or maybe already has. Joel or Matt, you can find out if that were the case. But I can't imagine him going away from Nedeljkovic, who's 5-0-1, 934 save percentage, and a 197 goals against in his last six games. Fan weather, time for that right now. I want to tell you that it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. It's sunchevy.com this afternoon. You're going to see some sun, some clouds, brisk, chilly, high of 49 tonight, partly cloudy, low of 31. It's going to really warm up to the point where we may have a couple of 70-degree days next week. All right, got another hour to go at 412-928-9370. We're here today live at Nemacolo Woodlands. Lee Trevino with a big Q&A tonight. I'm anxious to talk to him and all the members and guests up here. They got a great day at their TrackMan bays at the Golf Academy. You also have the podcast from Chase and Birdies are going to do it, and you'll hear it next Thursday if you follow that podcast. And you should. It's very good with a lot of local golf stuff as well. Plus a long drive competition and everything else going on right here at the Golf Academy at Nemacolo. And I'm Bob Pompiani. Hour two on the way. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, everyone. It's hour number two of the program. Joel Nelson now moves into the producer's chair. Thank you, Matt Harkins. Joel, take your number at 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. And you can hit them up at... Actually, that's not right. South Hills Kia. I got the two car dealerships messed up there. Sorry about that. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. And our show, as you know, is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Also, number one Cochran, ride in style and go one better at number one Cochran. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. We're talking about the Penguins, the Pirates specifically, because and the Final Four, too. This is a big weekend. We saw the women last night. If you have a thought on how Iowa won that game over UConn 71-69, there was a controversial offensive foul called on UConn late in that game, which kind of changed things. South Carolina won easily. South Carolina's undefeated. So tomorrow at 3, that's it. Iowa, South Carolina, a rematch of a Final Four game last year won by Iowa. So That's the women's side. On the men's side, NC State, DJ Burns, they're 9.5-point underdogs to Purdue and Zach Edey, the National Player of the Year. That's a lot of points, I think, for a team that's just been playing out of their minds. And then UConn, Alabama, which should be an interesting contrast of styles. Alabama is a high-scoring team, and they want to play a little bit more up-tempo. We'll see how that goes. As far as the Pirates are concerned, of course, you know, we're talking about their loss yesterday, 6-2. But the good thing about that is Jared Jones looked very poised in his second outing. They got, you know, really run into with Grayson Rodriguez as a good young pitcher. They have so many good prospects in Baltimore, which produced 101 wins last year. The Pirates would love to duplicate that a little bit, if they can do it, with some of the young talent they have. And Paul Skeens, in case you missed it yesterday, 3 scoreless with Indy. So far in 2 outings down there, he has pitched 6 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 11 strikeouts. So that certainly bodes well. He should be up here by now, but you know what they're doing in terms of waiting for one extra year of control. And that's pretty much how that goes. Want to get your Masters take, too. If you have a take, let me know at 412-928-9370. All right, Joel Nelson, let's get to the phone lines. We have Linda in Newcastle first up today. What's up, Linda, in hour number 2?
Hi, Bob. Good to talk to you. Hey, listen, my dark horse is for the Masters, Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, because they can putt, and I like their grit. I like their approach. So I like them, and obviously Koepka's going to be up there because he always is. And if Rory McIlroy can putt, he's going to win.
Number 2 in the world, but he's had his problems. I don't know if I'd consider Wyndham Clark a dark horse. Harman maybe, but he's also won a major. So those guys are – this is the hard thing about this, Linda, is there's so many guys capable of winning this thing. You know, Tiger Woods is in the field. Phil Mickelson's in the field. I don't know what to expect from those guys. Not much from Tiger, to be honest, just because he's had so many issues that he's been dealing with. So, but there's so many young players right now, too. And also guys from the LIV Tour. You mentioned Koepka. What about Rahm's, the defending champ, and Dustin Johnson? Very talented, could win the thing. You know, so a lot of ways to go here on this one.
Exactly, and I would have a better sense, except that I haven't been following LIV. I haven't been watching them, so I don't know how they're doing. But I know just Koepka just keeps bringing it, so I always put him up there.
Yeah, I think Jordan Spieth's due to win one of these too. If you're going to mention a name that, you know, hasn't really done, you know, anything at the Masters in terms of winning, he would be one I'd look to as well. So that's going to be fascinating next week. Can't wait for it to happen. I have Lee Trevino up here. Do you have any question you want me to ask him? Coming up a little later at Nemecol, and we're having a big Q&A with him. And he's won 6 majors, so he knows a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, well, he's amazing. And I think I like his attitude. I like his spirit in the game. And I think that's probably helped him throughout his career.
No doubt. Linda, thank you. Appreciate the call from Newcastle, PA. Let's go to California, Pennsylvania. We have Guy on the line right now. Guy, welcome. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. These are crazy times. You know, there's an earthquake in New York. There's a total solar eclipse next week. And the Penguins, somehow, after trading their premier winger, might make the playoffs. So it's I guess Malkin's been revised after his parents came to visit him. But, you know, When I look at the gold differential, I have to wonder how this team ever got themselves in this predicament. Look at the teams they're chasing. The Pens are +4, the Caps are -40, the Flyers are -19, and the Islanders are -25. And the other thing I can see is that it's 1-point games. The Penguins lost, and then you look at the Caps, those 1-point games, they actually won. And one more thing just about the game coming up this afternoon, you know, Kucherov, you said that, you know, you had mentioned that he's a good chance of winning the Ross Point Trophy, but for the points, but the MVP, the Hart Trophy, he should be, I mean, I know he's considered second, but it'll go to MacKinnon, and I'll be nice and say for the only reason that he's not Canadian, and I'll leave it at that. I just wonder what your thoughts were. I just want to think quick. If they do make the playoffs, they'll be shredded, but it won't matter because it gives the younger players experience for the playoff series, because that's a whole different set of games. And you bring a
Thanks,
whole
guy.
Different skill set.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know if I'd use the term shredded. I think the Penguins, with all the experience they have and the way they're playing, you mentioned the goal differential. I think that's a very pertinent point because they've been involved in a ton of games this year in which they've blown leads in the third period. Their power play has just not been productive. If they can somehow get that cranking for these last six and carry it into the playoffs, shredded is not the word I'd use. I think they could shred teams. I think they could win a playoff series, maybe more. Nothing would surprise me the way the NHL is set up in some of these teams. I'll say the same about the NBA. They're working on, you know, they have this interesting 7, 8, 9, 10 playoff to get the final two spots. It's so competitive. There's so many good teams. If you get hot at the right time, you can do tremendous things, and maybe they are. But again, it would not be possible without the total collapse of Philadelphia, which I thought would happen eventually. Not like this. They have a young team. They're kind of building toward the future, but the present was good, and then all of a sudden they've lost six in a row. Caps have lost six in a row. These are things I didn't expect to happen, and they've invited teams like the Penguins and Islanders back into it. Thanks, guy, for the call. Let's go out to Ray in Whitehall, who joins us now on the Bob Paul Piano Show. What's up, Ray? What's going on?
How you doing? In regards to the Pirates lineup, I still would keep Jack Sawinski in the lineup, but I've seen enough of him over the last year when he only hit 220 with runners in scoring position, that I don't have confidence of him in that spot. I would move him down. And I also think that while having O'Neill Cruz in the first leadoff spot, like a lot of these other teams that put their best players nowadays with these analytical situations, the Pirates don't have the talent, the offense, like after Cruz, the power that some of these other teams have, like, for example, Trout, and then you have a lot of good hitters after him. And I think Cruz should be in the fourth or fifth spot. He's going to have to learn how to drive in runs. And I also, I just don't have a lot of confidence the way it's set up, but I like the guys in there. Thanks.
All right, Ray, thank you. First of all, you can tinker around with these batting orders all you want. There was a time when the third spot was supposed to be your best hitter. Now it became the second and sometimes the first. I would like to see Henry Davis up a little higher in his order, and I would drop Sawinski down for the time being. But Jack Sawinski's been a power hitter, and he's done some good things that way. He's still a young player, too, so in terms of experience. So I'm not going to give up on any of these guys. I think it's just getting better as time goes on. Hopefully that'll apply to their pitchers. But I would move the thing about Andrew McCutchen, who's terrific, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to. But I don't know if he should be the everyday DH. Connor Joe's been playing well. Andrew will get his share of hits, but he's one home run away from that 300 mark. He needs to get that. But, in time, they have some other people who I think could, help in that DH situation. Hopefully, again, the meat of the order yesterday, as I mentioned, was 0 for 16. You ran into a really good pitcher in Grayson Rodriguez. If you haven't followed him, you should. He's going to be something special. So, it's 6-2. They're 8 games in. A better start than most thought. Let's see how it develops. Jackson in Bloomfield is joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, Bob. Just wanted to talk golf, go back to the Masters real quick. One, I don't know how you bet against Scheffler. I mean, he's playing so good. Obviously, his putting is always a question mark, but, I mean, he played terrible last week and almost won. I mean, I see him probably winning again this week if you're going to bet on anybody. I'd love to see Rory do it. I don't know what you think about him, and I'd like to hear what you think about Scheffler, but, I mean, Rory, obviously wants to see him do it, but I can't get excited on it. He'll let me down again like he's done so many times in these majors. Also, just broadly, the quality of play on the PGA Tour this year, I mean, it's been not as good. that opens up the whole can of worms, but Liv and, Liv's obviously terrible. But anyway, and if you have any thoughts on that. And then if you talk to Lee, I'd love to hear some local Pittsburgh golf stories, but I'm sure you're going to ask that anyway.
Oh, yeah, I have a whole list of things I'm going to get into. That's later tonight. He's actually over there right now at the Nemecolon Golf Academy giving tips to people. So I may have to utilize that time when I'm done here and go and get a few before we do this tonight. So, the Live has a lot of good golfers on it. You don't see it because no one's watching it. It's on, Facebook and it's on the CW network and people are just not going to be tuning into this. They met, Jackson, I'm sure you're familiar, down at the Albany Club in the Bahamas. It was the head of the Saudi public fund, as well as Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Jay Monahan had a meeting about trying to figure something out. I don't know what's come out of that, if anything ever will. But at some point, not just the majors, you want to see all these guys. You want to see the best players week to week to week. But I would disagree with you that I think this tour has had some pretty good young players step up and guys who've had good stories. You may not know who they are, and they may not have the personalities that, you know, you see from some of the guys in the past, but they're very good golfers, and you better score if you're going to compete on this tour for sure. But another guy I wouldn't be surprised to see is Matsuyama. He's been playing well. He's a guy who can, you know, he's had success in majors, specifically this tournament. So that wouldn't surprise me at all to see him, you know, be in contention next week at the Masters. 412-928-93. Okay, I didn't know if you were there or not. So so he's another guy. I wouldn't bet against him. There are too many guys to bet on here. You know, it's just really difficult to pick one. All right, Jackson, thanks. Let's move along to Tom in Oakmont. Tom joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Bob, pretty good. How you doing, bud?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, hey, I don't want to bring something bad your way, but I saw a woodpecker today. I hope that isn't a sign anything, but
Right. Hopefully he's not related to my woodpecker. I don't want anyone, any of those family members over here.
Well, you blew his head off, didn't you, with his shotgun? But no. Yeah. Hey, on Keller, I looked at his numbers, and not to worry. He does have consistency. He's consistently inconsistent, and you never know when he's going to like break out and carry the team for 2 months or something like that. So I don't think we have any worries with him. He just needs to get in the space or in the zone or whatever, you know.
Yeah. He had a really good first half of the season, not so much in the second half. If you remember, he's another one of these guys who did not have success right off the bat. I mean, it took him a while to figure it out. And I've never looked at him as an ace of a staff.
He is talent.
Maybe right now on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a solid pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, when Skeens comes up here and does what he's supposed to do, then he becomes the immediate ace. But Keller's and they've signed him, so he's going to be here for a while. And it's only two starts. People react so quickly to every start, every game, whatever the case may be.
For 2 months at a time, so, you know, when he gets in gear.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate the call. All right, you have a good day. Counselor is in the car right now, and he's on the fan. Hey, Counselor.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
What's up, man?
And listen, I don't think that the Pirates should, as the saying goes, if Bailey Falter has a bad outing this time, that would be it for me as far as him being in the starting rotation. I don't think they should try and push the issue. I'd rather see that left-hander that they use as a relief pitcher.
Yeah, Josh Fleming. I would, too. Yeah. I would, too.
You know, the other thing is...
Or even Ronzi Contreras. You know, he's in that road. He's in the bullpen right now, but he's really a starter. I mean, maybe you go back to him.
Yeah. And the other thing on the Penguins is, I agree with you. One out of two would be okay by me. One and one. I think Tampa's more likely that we might be able to get something there as far as 2 points is concerned. And the other thing is, I just saw this on my phone. And I can't believe it. This guy, and I guess they just do it to make mark drafts. They have the Steelers trading Russell Wilson to the Oakland Raiders for a second-round pick. And then I don't know what they're going to do. No other quarterback in the stable.
They have. First of all, you know, you hear these kind of speculation rumors all over the time. I'm not going to buy that. I think they're going to stick with what they have and add to it. They have Kyle Allen. They're going to draft a quarterback at some point. So they'll have four arms in their training camp. Whoever the fourth one is, I'm not sure at this point. I don't think they bring – Russell Wilson is looking for a home here now, too, and I know that he's not going to just buy a house if he didn't think he was going to be in the mix.
Right. I didn't think that was a very good – I guess they just make up stuff to
– Well, I don't know. I don't know what specifically you're referring to. What I'm saying is that you'll hear a lot of speculation about a lot of different things. To me, you should just, you know, kind of look at it with caution and say, okay, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. Some of these accounts – I don't know if they have the cachet that others do, but whatever the case, they're gonna go with. I can't see a scenario in the, if Russell Wilson is here during training camp and in the preseason games, I don't think he's gonna play enough or do enough to lose a job. I think Fields could push the envelope. Certainly, he's got a lot of talent, and eventually, he may be the guy you want to sign now for the future. But I don't think I'd see anything beyond that right now.
Hi.
I hope you didn't crash your car, Counselor. I heard a lot of – thanks. I hope you didn't crash anything there. It sounds so good. Steve in Latrobe before we go to a break. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Pomp, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, real quick, before I get into my call, I just wanted to let yourself, Starkey, Alexander, Zeiss, you guys ever get up here for training camp and bring your clubs, you have an open invitation to play some golf and have a few adult beverages at Mr. Palmer's Country Club with me.
I love that place, Latrobe Country Club, and all the Arnie paraphernalia. That's a special place. I'll definitely take you up on that, Steve, for sure. I'm sure the other guys will, too.
Yeah, I would like to see Starkey in one of his little Tourette's outbreaks. That would be worth the price of admission. but what I'm gonna get into is, I would have said this yesterday, but I didn't call, is these next nine games, now eight games, are going to absolutely show us kind of where we're at with the Pirates. I mean, Miami was missing four of their starting pitchers due to injury. The Nationals just aren't a good baseball team. So now we're going to kind of see where the rubber meets the road. And the other thing I'd like to politely disagree with a lot of people on is Jones has done great because his stuff's so good with the swing and misses, and I heard the StatCast stuff. But he keeps it with that shove-it mentality, and he keeps trying to pump it right down the heart of the zone. And these are big league hitters, man. I mean, three or four of those guys a game are going to find the barrel hard just like yesterday, and they're going to put it over the fence. He can't just keep pounding the heart of the zone. He's got to start, you know, getting eye level change, hitting spots and doing things other than just saying, here it is, hit it.
No, I get that. I mean, he's also got to learn more how to become just a pitcher, not relying on that stuff, even though you have a great arm and a great velocity. It goes beyond that. And these guys are smart enough to know, they do enough video research and review that they'll figure out what your weakness is. And I think that's why Mitch Keller took so long to finally get it together, you know, over the years. Because it's not just coming down. And now, if you're Skeens and you can throw it 102 miles an hour by people, God bless you. Because then I don't know anyone can catch up to that. But you have to have something else when you don't have the location on that. So, but yeah, you have to be, though, encouraged, don't you, with the fact that you've seen two outings with this guy, and he looks like he's not at all intimidated in any level.
No, absolutely. I'm not disparaging him one bit. I mean, this kid's going to be special once he learns how to pitch. But, you know, the whole shove-it mentality, I just want to shove it. You know, especially when the weather gets hotter, velocities get up, more guys see it. This is the big leagues, and they get books on you. You know, they're going to hit your mistakes regardless if you're throwing 99 or not. But, oh, I mean, a rotation of Skeens and Jones, and if they could have brought in one other gentleman I won't name, and then, you know, Martin Perez and Keller, that's a playoff rotation. There's no question about it.
Well, if they do what they're supposed to do. Steve, thanks for the call from Latrobe. Hopefully I'll see you on the links up there at some point. We got to take a break here. We're just getting started here. I look forward to it, especially the adult beverage part of that as well. Thank you. All right, 412-928-9370. Thanks to our sponsors, PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, Sports Call every night right here on the Fan and KDK Plus. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, number one Cochran. Go one better. Shop in style, ride in style at number one Cochran and Chendorovich and Fishman. 412-928-9370. Penguins play at 1. Give me your take. Are they going to make it or not? Right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's a hockey afternoon in Pittsburgh. The Penguins with new life. By the end of the day, they can actually be in the playoffs controlling their own fate. Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock. Joel Nelson back at The Fan, and he is handling all the ones and the twos in your calls at 412-928-9370. The Penguins start today at 81 points. That's just one less point than you see from Detroit and Washington. They both lost last night. So did Philly. Everything the Penguins wanted last night happened. That's right. Buffalo beat the Flyers 4-2. The Flyers actually played the better game, I thought, but they couldn't beat them. Carolina came back. They were down 2-0 to the Caps. Jake Kensel, two goals. Carolina wins 4-2. And the Rangers beat Detroit, and the Red Wings have gone into a funk. This is not your Detroit team from 08-09. It's a younger team learning how to win, and they're stumbling right now. All these teams have really stumbled over the last 2 weeks, which has made it possible for the Penguins, with three wins on the road, to get into it. What do we expect today? Nedeljkovic, Joel, make sure you can double-check that with me, that he is in goal today. I think I missed Mike Sullivan's thing because we were up here, of course. But I would imagine it's Nedeljkovic versus Vasilevskiy. In the meantime, let's go back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Bob in the car. What's up, Bob? How are you?
Hi, Bob. About 2 months ago, I kept basically calling whoever wanted to listen, and I was telling that why Sully does not put Nedeljkovic more in gold, because my experience was team was playing better in front of Nedeljkovic, period. And every time Nedeljkovic even had a good game, Jari was next. He was always there. And I really think the turning point was the fact that Nedeljkovic took over as a starter. You couldn't even dream of beating Rangers or Capitals or New Jersey. They couldn't even beat New Jersey for like how many years. To me, it is a very, very open and shut case. When you have a goalie that you trust, team plays, they battle. And we see that everybody is committed. And right now, we got where we want to be. And I tell you, this Penguins with Nedeljkovic, I think if they go, and because they have a strong teams in front of them, if they win out and they go to the playoffs, watch out, because they're in hot streak. And I really,
yeah.
Really,
hey Bob, too. I agree with that. You don't know how it is until you're getting hot at the right time of the year. It's true for a lot of sports. We've seen NC State in the men's Final Four now, and they got hot at the right time. Nedeljkovic, I'll say this: he's taking advantage of his opportunity. He will start today. That's confirmed. And why not? To me, if he continues, you just keep riding him. But his save percentage is at .908 for the season. It's been totally enhanced because of this most recent span, which is 5-0-1 and a .934 save percentage. So I thought the goaltending was not an issue. Listen, I'll say this, Bob. You can talk to me about goaltending, and yes, they're playing better in front of him, and he should start right now. But their power play was the reason they were where they were in the standings. Their power play was atrocious all year, and it has to be better, especially if they can catch fire now with a power play. Just imagine what they can do moving forward.
Yeah, as far as the power play, that's another thing that I could not understand why he basically put Malkin in the second power play unit, and it was just a mess because they were the first power play unit, and if they couldn't do it, there you go. The second power play, it was just you can't put divide two your best players in the power play. That was a very big question mark. I know that everybody was talking Malkin this, Malkin that, but the main reason for power play was the fact that we put Carlson. And Carlson was now he's very effective. Now he's playing very good. But just putting him instead of Letang, the fact that it was like a learning each other, it was not given answers. Now power play is you have Malkin and Crosby playing with each other, and you see that they are making, you know, as far as Jari, I tell you, everybody was saying, including you, that Jari was not a problem. In my book, Jari was a problem. Jari was not just a problem. It's not about the shutouts and all that. It is about the cohesiveness between the team and their goalie. And
right. And Bob, and not only that, it's about big games. And thank you for the call, man. I do appreciate it. But it's the big games, and he has not played well in the big games. That's been the thing with him. I'll be anxious to see if he does get an opportunity down the stretch or into the playoffs if they get there, if they have to play him. Because, listen, Nedeljkovic is what he is. He potentially is with Carolina. He was rookie of the year material. But then all of a sudden, you know how the life of a goaltender goes. But they're riding him, and they should. This is the Mason Rudolph effect for the Penguins. You know, Jari is healthy, got over his sickness, but he's not going to get back and go unless Nedeljkovic doesn't play well, and when that happens, if it happens, I expect Jari to be back in goal just because they signed him. Sullivan is a pro Tristan Jarry, and he should be. He's the guy who wanted him here more than anybody, and he got him here. So we'll see how it goes. However, next year with Blomqvist ready to bloom, I wonder what that means. If Nedeljkovic like continues this and just plays all the way through tremendous hockey and they do well in the playoffs, that will be a very interesting storyline to follow. Today, not only are the Penguins playing at 1 o'clock, they can put some pressure on the Flyers who play tonight at Columbus. Flyers, like I said, played a pretty good game last night, but they couldn't get by Buffalo. Buffalo's still alive in this, believe it or not. They've gotten hot at the end and taken advantage of these other teams faltering also. And then you have Nashville at the Islanders. The Islanders have gotten a second opportunity again because of all of this mediocre play, or less than mediocre play by the teams in front of them. It's going to go right down to the wire just the way you like it in all sports. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let me know what you think. We are on until 1 o'clock, and then it'll be BetQL coming at you, College Game Day, with all these games. They will focus in on that. And at 3 o'clock, it's Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern Leadoff Show, followed by First Pitch, Pirates and Orioles today. Bailey Falter on the mound against Tyler Wells, who's 6'9", a big dude. That'll be today at 4 o'clock tonight over at Highmark Stadium. It's the Riverhounds at home against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. We'll be back with more. We got a Joel Nelson update. More calls on the way at 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompieni Show. We're live in Nemacolin Woodlands Resort right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Busy day in sports, no doubt. Bob Pompieni here, along with Joel Nelson, back in the studio behind the glass. 412-928-9370. The Fan and the Pirates want you to send in your opportunity to have them visit you for youth baseball and softball showcases. Parents and coaches, send an email, youthsports@937thefan.com, to register your 12 and under team. And 93.7 The Fan may make a trip and stop by your field. Details at 937thefan.com. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. As we continue here, today it's Nedeljkovic against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay has been playing much better. Very interesting race for the Art Ross Trophy. Nikita Kucherov with 43 goals, and he's not the only one. Braden Point also has 43 goals. This team is very weird in the sense that they score a lot of goals, but, man, they've given up a ton of goals. A lot of these guys are minus players. The best guy on their team is their big defenseman, who's a plus 19, and you expect that from him every time he's on the ice because he's that good of a player. But getting back to Kucherov, 43 goals. He has 133 points. Nathan MacKinnon has been on fire. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. He and Connor McDavid both. When you look at the numbers, the last 30 games, MacKinnon has 57 points. That's almost 2 points per game. In the last 30 games for McDavid, he has 63 points. That's over 2 points per game. So right now it's Kucherov 133, MacKinnon 130, and then you have McDavid at 125. But there's still time left, and these guys get hot. Look out, man. They'll go right down the stretch. But Kucherov has something to play for, as does Tampa. Tampa comes in here 2 points behind Toronto for third in their division. So depending on how you look at matchups, they may want to match up with Boston, or maybe they don't. So Pittsburgh has Tampa Bay today. They have Toronto on Monday night. Two very tough opponents right off the bat here. While this is going on, as I said, you also have a situation where you have the Flyers in action on back-to-back games. They are looking at this Columbus team, which could be difficult. The Penguins have found that out, to be sure. Columbus is not an easy opponent right now. They're playing good hockey, and the Flyers are falling apart, and they need some good. You know, Carter Hart, their goaltender, has been out on leave because of this alleged rape charge that's been levied against him and several other players on the United States Olympic Junior Olympic team. So they're struggling, and there's no doubt they're falling apart, and the Penguins have taken advantage of that. The Islanders will be home against Nashville. Pittsburgh does have Nashville coming up. This is sandwiched between games with Detroit and the Islanders. Those are games the Penguins would love to win. Detroit is at home. The Islanders, final game of the year, it's at New York. In between, it's Nashville and Boston. So the Penguins have 4 of 6 at home as they go down the stretch. That should certainly help them as they try to get their way into the playoffs. And again, I've had people call here and say, well, don't expect the Penguins to do much in the playoffs. Why wouldn't you? If they do get in, they're going to be extremely hot, and they have a hot goaltender who's playing that way. Can it continue? It's not going to be easy, but you know, they have a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who've been down this. They want to win one more time. I wouldn't rule them out at all of any series. I think they can match up very well against the Rangers, and the Rangers probably don't want any parts of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's go out on the lines at 412-928-9370. We have Joe in Verona joins us here on the Bob Pompeo Show. What's up, Joe? How are you today?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Listen, I want an opinion from you. Not counting right-hand pitchers or left-hand pitchers. Sometimes that's overrated. Yesterday's game, when I seen the lineup, Swindell and McCutcheon, I like the both of them. But fourth and fifth, I really believe this, Bob, and they're going to do it. They have to. Cruz is going to be, I think, what you say, a superstar. He can run like a deer, so he's going to be hard to double. I'd definitely put him in the fourth spot against right and left. I know a little bit less against left. I'd put Connor Joe or McCutcheon at first because Connor Joe is really hitting in the ball. You can't cater to McCutcheon, who I love, and Swindell, who he hits a long ball, but like yesterday, they both popped up with first and third and both struck out twice, and that's tough. And not that, you know, I'm not complaining, but I just think they should move Cruz to fourth and leave him there.
Opinion. They might do that. They might do that, Joe, but I still wouldn't. I still think he has value at the top of the order because of the speed.
Who would
because
you
I
put,
think he can do a lot of – I would put Davis batting cleanup. Who would you put that's fourth, who my cleanup is. And McCutcheon is not going to play first base. It's going to be Davis for me eventually as a cleanup hitter. And then you're going to put Connor Joe, with Rowdy Tellez at first for the time being. That's going to be their first base platoon.
Well, I like to see Cruz for. That's me. That's just my opinion.
But well, anyway, I mean, he has the power to do it for sure.
Have a good day and go, right. Pens. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully that'll be a nice win today. And the Pirates will follow up at 4:05 as they take on Baltimore in game two of the series. Falter against Wells in that one. Baltimore's a really good team. I like what they've done down there, and it's really come together quickly, without a doubt. So good for the Orioles. And they're a team that they're in a very tough division, as you know, with Boston, with Tampa, with Toronto, and the Yankees. And to me, every year I look at that, I say that's going to be the best division in baseball. The Pirates occupy a spot in what may be the worst division in baseball, or at least one that doesn't expect to have a team run away with anything. And that gives them an opportunity here. Again, for those of you who missed it last night, Paul Skenes, 3 innings, complete control of everything. So far in 2 outings in AAA, he has 6 innings pitch, 1 hit, no runs, 11 strikeouts. He can't do any better than that. So he's on the cusp. We'll see what it is. If you're interested in Bubba Chandler, he was down in Altoona yesterday, 3 1/3. 4 strikeouts, 2 runs, and of course you know about Jared Jones, who I thought was the biggest takeaway from yesterday's game for the Pirates. He did well, and he looks poised. He looks like he can be up here for a while and hopefully one of the central pieces of their future when it comes to starting rotation. All right, one other note. Again, I'm going to tell you my Masters pick. I don't know why I'm waiting. It's too soon. It's difficult to pick any one of these guys. I told you I would do it by the end of the broadcast. So Scheffler has to get all the attention. I'm ready to say that Jordan Spieth is about to become a Masters champ. His game has been solid. He's knocking on the door. Sooner or later, he's going to break through that. Brooks Koepka, you can never say enough about him. He's got 5 majors already, although last year it looked like he was going to win the Masters until John Rahm took it away from him. So we haven't seen a lot of those LIV guys. You're going to see them coming up here. Next week at Augusta. There are so many good players. Brian Harmer's one of them, a lefty who's just a grinder. I'm going to go with Wyndham Clark, however. I just think he's had a really good start to the season. He is, when he's on his game, he's very difficult to catch if he gets a lead. He's sort of like Scheffler in a way. It's taken him a while to get better at this. Scheffler's kind of jumped at it a lot quicker. But Wyndham Clark is going to be my pick, I think. I may change by next weekend, but it's early. That's what I'm going to tell you at this point. Tiger Woods is going to play. Phil Mickelson is going to play. I have no expectations for Tiger whatsoever. Now, this is an unusual strategy, but he said he's given up sex in order to concentrate on golf. Now, I don't know. It seems like in his heyday, he was better when he was doing a lot of that. So, anyway, he's in the field. We'll see what happens with Tiger Woods. We haven't seen much of him at all. But that's going to wrap it up for us. Want to thank Matt Harkins first, and then Joel Nelson, who's sitting there right now. Joel, thank you very much. Appreciate it, as always. Going to get to the fan weather here, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. This afternoon, it's going to be sunny. Clouds are kind of a mix there, and brisk. High temperature of 49 tonight, partly cloudy, low of 31 degrees. And this week coming up, you're going to see some 60s and maybe even a 70 degree temperature thrown in there as well. That is fan weather. brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. I want to thank Nemecula Woodlands. I'm up here today to MC a dinner and a Q&A with Lee Trevino, the six-time champion. He's 84. He looks great. He's given a lot of tips up here at the Golf Academy. So if you want to become a member, you can do that. Or if you're a guest, you also get some of these great things and perks they throw at you at Nemecula. And so I look forward to talking to the Mary Mex about his take on today's tour, the live thing, who he likes, and everything else involved in golf. But again, thank you for joining me. I always do appreciate it. Big day today in Pittsburgh. You got the Penguins and Tampa coming up at 1, the Pirates at 4 against the Orioles, the Riverhounds at home tonight against Tampa Bay Rowdies. That's all tonight on what would be a triple header of Pittsburgh sports. I'm Bob Pompiani, wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you Monday on Joe's show, and then next Saturday right here, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.